Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world, and whoever follows you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, the light that comes into the world at your incarnation. And though the dark world would not receive you, Lord Jesus, we would receive you today as the very Son of God and Savior of your bride, the Church of Jesus Christ. Receive our worship, Lord, as a pleasing offering in the Spirit, as we dwell together on the Scriptures in this hour, and fill your house with shouts of praise and honor and blessing to the name that is above every name. Forgive us our many sins, and hear us, Lord, as we pray together the great prayer of the kingdom of God on earth, saying now, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All of our scripture lessons this morning are found printed in full in your bulletin if you'd like to follow the reading of God's word. Our first scripture lesson this morning is found in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. This is the narrative of the fall, the serpent, and the promise of the gospel in the offspring of the woman. Genesis 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God actually say, You shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave also some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, Where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. He said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that you have done? The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He, that is the Lord Jesus, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
Please stand and take the red hymnal and turn to hymn number 194.
Our second lesson is the birth and kingdom foretold. We'll read two passages from Isaiah, the first being Isaiah 7, 10 through 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Our second passage is from Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in a battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Chapel choir will come forward, please. Let's stand and sing hymn number 195.
Oh,
seated.
From the book of Luke, chapter 1, beginning verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever."
If the chapel choir would come forward, and as the men come forward to collect the offering this morning, if you would please locate the black attendance pads on the end of each pew and pass those at this time. We read in 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Corky Nell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we want to thank you for all the blessings that you give us, and material blessings. We ask that you grant that these be used for your kingdom.
Amen.
Oh, come, fourth lesson is the angel's message to Joseph, found in Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Sing hymn number 218.
Sorry.
Please be seated.
The fifth lesson, the birth of the Messiah, is from Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Cornelius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And he will be a sign for you. You will find the babies wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom with he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these things up, pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Chaplain Squire will come forward.
As I
Let's stand and turn to hymn number 213.
The sixth lesson, the Magi, is from Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star which they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening the treasure, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way."
Thank you.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 208. Seated. Reading for our seventh lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 18. And John's very beautiful description of the mystery of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. The beauty of this service every year, it strikes me, is that it is saturated in God's Word. The telling of the gospel story, the telling of the story of Jesus Christ from both the Old Testaments and the New Testaments. And we believe that the Word of God, coupled with the Spirit of God, has the power to save and to transform and to turn us into sons of God. You may have noticed as we read through the gospel accounts this morning that the accounts of Matthew and the accounts of Luke, and this is also true of Mark, when they tell the story of Jesus, they all begin with Jesus on earth and Jesus in flesh and Jesus in blood. But not the gospel according to John. John begins the story of Jesus with his eyes on heaven. You'll notice in the opening verse, he says, in the beginning, that takes us back to the very beginning of Scripture. That takes us back to just before creation. Just before creation, before anything was, and we begin to grasp just a glimpse of the glory of Christ. And John is explaining here that at that moment when creation came into being, Jesus Christ already was. He already existed. He's eternal. He's uncreated. He's not part of this world. He's not part of this universe. He's not part of creation around us. Before anything was created, he had already been. And then John tells us in verses 3 and 4, in fact, Jesus created everything. He himself is the creator, and he sustains everything. He sustains all of creation. But then in this passage of John, he goes on to explain one of the most profound truths ever. One of the most profound truths ever, and that is Jesus Christ was God, Jesus Christ was with God, and yet he took on flesh and he became a man. He took on humanity. In verse 18, he says, "No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." One reason God took on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ was to make God known to fallen, sinful human beings. To make God known, or as one translation says, to explain him. Jesus Christ came to explain God. Jesus Christ came to make known the unknowable. Who here wants to know God? Who wants to know God? Of course you do. And John says, look to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Receive Jesus. And when you enter into fellowship with Jesus, you experience the eternal divine fellowship with God. What a beautiful promise. What a beautiful truth. You read these words, and I hope and I pray this morning that all of the words of Scripture that have saturated this time of worship this morning, I pray that they will bring to you a sense of wonder and a sense of awe and a sense of reverence. And I pray most of all that they will bring to you a glimpse of the glory of Jesus Christ, that you might embrace him in faith and believe and receive God. If the chapel choir would come forward. Please receive the benediction. May the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, go with you this day and forevermore. Amen.